I had never thought about it, but someone told me this morning, in the valley, we hibernate in the summer. We just stay inside and take things easy because it's so blooming hot outside. Well, I am glad that you are here this morning. Find your way to 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11, and we'll read the first five verses. It came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. It came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness. She returned unto her house. The woman conceived and sent and told David and said, "I am with child." No matter how many times I read this account, I'm just as disappointed as the first time that I read it. Always something inside wants to say, "Not David. Surely not David. This couldn't be David." But it is David. The Bible is brutally honest with its heroes. This chapter ought to be a red flashing light to all of us. "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." I have some thoughts. First of all, David had been favored with many blessings from God. It's just incredible. In chapter 6, upon the death of Saul, the nation was divided. And through a process of events in chapter 6, the nation is reunited and David reigns over all Israel. The ark is brought back. The worship of God is centralized. In chapter 7, the Bible says that David is at peace with his enemies. When a man's ways please the Lord, the Bible says, he maketh him to be at peace with his enemies. David's fame and wealth is increasing. One day it came into his heart to build God a house. So David says to the prophet Nathan, "I'm going to build a house for God." And Nathan says, "That's a good idea. Go do it." God came to Nathan that evening and said, "Did I tell David to build me a house?" And Nathan says, "No." He says, "Well, you go and tell David, I don't want him to build me a house." Nathan goes to David and says, "It's not the time and you're not the man to build God a house." But God in his kindness goes to David's son Solomon much later and says, "It was enough that David had it in his heart to build me a house." How very kind of God. In chapter 8, David has a great victory over Syria. I don't have to tell you the influence and power and dread many nations had of Syria at that time. But Israel just ran over them. gave them a good whipping. God blessed David and preserved him everywhere he went. And then in chapter 9, everything is going so well for David. He's sitting around one day and he says, "You know, God has been so good to me. I want to do for somebody else what God has done for me." So back up in your Bible to chapter 9. I want us to read this chapter. What a sweet chapter in your Bible of God's grace in the Old Testament. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." The king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar." One of the good studies in your Bible is this individual Maker. He is a great, great guy. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker, the son of Amiel from Lodibar. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth?" And he answered, "Behold thy servant." David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king said to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertain to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons, 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. Let me give you three thoughts very quickly about Mephibosheth. First of all, he was crippled by a fall. Go back to chapter 4 real quick in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 4, and look at verse 4. Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame on his feet. He was 5 years old, or just a kid. And when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. He was crippled by a fall. Let me relate that to you and I. Every one of us have been crippled by a fall. When Adam sinned in the garden, that has been passed upon every one of us. We have been crippled. The Bible says, for as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so that all have sinned and all will die because of that. But that's not the end of the story. Second of all, he was summoned by a king. David said, you go and get Mephibosheth and bring him to my palace. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Every one of us has had God say to us, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul. And then third, he feasted at the king's table. He was crippled by a fall. He was summoned by a king. He feasted at the king's table. In Psalm 23, and maybe David was thinking about this young man when he wrote this, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Maybe he was thinking about this kid. And then in chapter 10, you find David at war again. This time, it is against the Ammonites with a Syrian coalition. The king of the Ammonites had died, and his son has taken the throne. David felt sorry for the son and sent an ambassage with gifts. The son took it as David was sending spies to his land. So the son humiliated David's men, shaved their beards, shaved their heads, cut their garments so that their posteriors showed, and then sent them away in shame. And that just infuriated David. When the Ammonites saw that David was mad, they knew that they were in trouble. So they went over to the Syrians and said, will you help us? They said, yes. So David and his army just annihilates them. And I like how chapter 10 ends. It says this, so the Syrians decided not to help the Ammonites anymore. I bet that's right. So for all of these chapters, David is very conscious that this is the blessing of God on his life. David is aware that it is not because of his own might, his own wisdom, his own greatness, his own power. It's all of God. He is under no illusions of himself. He knew that God had been so very good to him. And then we come to chapter 11. All of a sudden, things change. It's like we are dealing with another person. Second of all, David of all people knew full well the results of willful sin. David is around 50 years old here. We're not talking with a kid. He knew what willful sin does in the life of any person. Saul would have served as a great example to him. David had observed his life. He understood that willful sin leads to personal turmoil. He observed Saul when he went into those mood swings. He was there when Saul picked up the javelin and tried to nail David to the wall with it. When an evil spirit troubled him and the only thing that would help him was music. And of course, David was called in to play the harp. Second of all, he saw the confusion willful sin brings to a family. Michael was Saul's daughter. Very unstable person, a very selfish individual, very carnal. And she was David's wife. Saul had given her to David for a wife. She was not stable. She was not solid. She was not spiritual, but closer to a basket case. It had something to do with the environment in which she was raised. And then, the early death of Jonathan. Oh my. David loved Jonathan, and it was an early death for him. And David observed all of that. It's sad that everything that he observed in Saul's life happened to him. God is no respecter of persons. First of all, David began to experience personal turmoil after chapter 11. He began to try to deal with all the guilt, but it took him about a year to do that. Psalm 32, Psalm 38, Psalm 51 gives you a window to his soul when he was going through this. He is living with personal turmoil. His sin is ever before him, the Bible says. His peace is all gone. His physical health is gone. He's broken. He's a mess. Second of all, do you think that David saw his family fall apart? I guess he did. Amnon, David's son, rapes his own sister Tamar. Absalom was infuriated with that, and so he goes over and he kills Amnon. Your family will pay a price for you to live in sin. Tamar never marries and never bears children. Absalom is killed. Adonijah has the same ambition and is killed. Willful sin brings personal turmoil, and it will wreck your family. Please, please, don't take a message like this lightly. God has spoken, and His word is not Father, how very thankful we are for your wonderful word and just how truthful it is about all of us. It was about David. You'd been so good to him. So good. Then he chooses a bad way, a bad path. And your word says that the sword would never depart from his family. Father, speak to our hearts this morning. Help us. And it might not be sexual sin. It could be something else. But oh God, help us. Father, if there's someone here that's never been saved, I'm sure this is a hard message for them. But dear Father, please speak to their heart about salvation, the fact that they need to come to the Savior. Father, I just ask that each one of us that we would deal with sin in our life and get that taken care of. For your Son. And for forgiveness, for your grace, your mercy. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen. Rick's going to lead us in an invitation song.